Sometimes in life we just suffer. Sometimes it's from being totally withdrawn, or so much stress that we are totally anxious, or so tired that we are totally burnt out. But our current position is not our final destination. No, indeed. There's hope. So whether it's your personal life, your career, your relationship, your business, or your job, we say there's reason to believe again. And we present from Andy's Personal Development, the Breakout Room. It's the place for health, happiness, and prosperity. Stay tuned for more. Hey, welcome, 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 and this is your host, Andy Charles, and we are live in the Breakout Room on this wonderful episode. It's entitled Core Beliefs and Parenting with Kati Sun, our guest on this live episode of the Breakout Room. Remember our three watchwords: health, happiness, and prosperity. So without further ado, let's just introduce our guest for a moment. As I said before, her name is Kati Sun, and she's a core belief expert, parenting coach, and bestseller author. And she says, parents who work with me release emotional triggers from their childhood so they can respond, not react, to their children with compassionate curiosity, understanding, and support. But this is not about me. This is about our guests, Kati Sun. So let's welcome her. She can tell us so much more about her expertise and the things that she have accomplished. Live in the Breakout Room, let's welcome Kati Sun. There we go. Welcome, Kati. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Andy. It is so wonderful to see you again. It's been a couple of years since we last spoke.
Yeah, it is. And it is indeed a pleasure and a privilege for us to be able to come together again under the banner of this podcast. So we're going to have some fun and at the same time share some valuable content to our people who are going to be live and those who are going to have this available. Sometime later on. So Kati, tell us a bit about Kati Sun and your core areas of expertise that you have developed over the years, especially more since the last time we have been on this podcast.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I'd love to. Let's just say the year, because I'm going to think back that far. It was about 1994 when it really all began for me. All of this journey that I'm on now really started. And that's when I met my late husband to be. So we dated for about 3 years. And when I first met him, he was just starting to write his book about this work that I'm going to talk about today, that at the encouragement of his clients, because they said, you know, nobody's doing this, nobody's talking about this, but they had gone through personal transformation with David's work and said, you know, this really needs to get out there. So early on in our relationship, I became, of course, exposed to his work. I came to understand it. We were together for 25 years before I lost him in 2019. And, you know, during that time, I came to learn the work very deeply. I apprenticed, essentially, helped edit his book. And after I settled in, I was in a career with the federal government. I retired not long after I lost David, because I found myself a single working mom of school-age kids in the middle of a pandemic. And it was a bit much. That whole year was one of great transformation for me and transition from what I was doing with my work with the government, pretty much way behind the scenes, a cog in the wheel, to deciding to step forth with David's work because I didn't want it to just disappear. And also being able to step forth, such as with you today, and being in front of the camera, something that I was discouraged from doing back when I worked for the government. They were like, don't talk to the media, right? We have people for that. So it's really been a journey, and I'd love to talk about my book in a few minutes. And the book was a big part of my journey of taking what was David's work and making it my own. And becoming the face of the work, not just the support from behind the scenes, which is what I did for all those years with David.
So, Kathy, it's entitled The Body Memory Process. Tell us a bit about the focus of this and how important it is that people understand how much it can help with regards to being able to find themselves and to understand the differences between the mind and the body and everything functions together.
Yeah, absolutely. So there, we're just not exposed to this. When we're kids, we're in school, nobody teaches us the fact that before we're even 7 years old, we have largely determined, we've come to conclusions about ourselves, about the world, and about others.
Right.
There's people talking about this. Anyone can go and look, especially on YouTube, for his name. Bruce Lipton. His name of Dr. Bruce Lipton. He wrote The Biology of Belief, and he talks a lot about these programming that kids do, because when we're that age, our brains are very different, and we're operating from a place of imagination. Our brain waves are at theta, and that we are really creating. We are creating our operate. We have the operating system. We're creating the programs based upon what we're observing around us and experiencing. And we're not logical in that early part of our lives. And so, it's easy for us to make these big leaps to conclusion that this happened over there and it's somehow about me. It's either something I did or something I didn't do. So it is so extremely important for people to understand that we all go through life with what's called a life script. Okay. Life script. Mm-hmm. That's what we, essentially that's the sum total of these core beliefs that we create very early in life. Now your life script can lead you to one of two places. Well, sometimes it's both, but two different places. And that's pretty much it. One is to crisis. If I have a belief in there, a lot of them are about a very core self-identity, such as I'm not good enough. If you think of crisis, it can be in the areas of relationship, right? We have relationships that don't work, or one relationship that totally blows up on us, or repeat relationships with somebody who is abusive. We can end up in financial situations where, we're living paycheck to paycheck or actually absolutely broke, maybe even out on the street. And then there's crisis in our health. So our life script through those core beliefs that we're not even aware of because they are in our subconscious, we live those beliefs out, and then they keep us stuck. The other place that our life script can lead us is to our comfort zone, so which is actually a worse place to be than in crisis. Because you get this, in crisis, at least you can get to the point where you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and you're searching for solutions. But in your comfort zone, it might be, I can see that over there, there's a big gap between your comfort zone and your dreams, right? What could be a much greater life for yourself? But it's there, and it's like, yeah, we really great not to live. It would be great to have six figures coming in. It would be great to have robust energy every single day. It would be great to have a really loving, supportive relationship. But, I'm not broke. I'm living paycheck to paycheck, but I'm not broke. And, I'm not sick. I'm kind of tired every day. I don't sleep all that great, but I'm not like in the hospital, right? So there's this rationalization that people do because they're stuck there in their comfort zone because there are these beliefs hold us there. Now, there's good news.
Yeah.
While if you think about your life script that's sort of in the dark, that's where it can keep you stuck in these places. But if you illuminate your life script, you become aware of it, you do discovery work, and you start peeling back those layers of the onion to figure out, why is this going on in my life? Then your life script can actually become your best friend, because when you do the work that it guides you to, then you can do all those things that you talk about in the beginning of your show, right? That's that hope. And otherwise we feel like we're stuck, but there's always hope. There's always a way to get out of where you are. You just need to make the decision right here and now that says, I'm doing it. I'm not gonna accept less of myself any longer.
Wow. That's very powerful and quite consuming. Thank you for sharing, Kathy. I want to look a bit at parenting. And the reason why I want to touch on that is because in paying attention to what is happening in the world, we see parents are struggling. There's a lot of quote-unquote teenage delinquency that is happening all over the globe. It's not endemic to any specific nation or people. But in addition to that, we see the children pelting out, shouting out, hitting out, seeking levels of attention, but in so many negative ways. They're rebellious. There's an increase in bullying. They do not respect the classroom environment nor teachers anymore. And somehow or the other, they seem to be choosing friends that can lead them down a negative path rather than a positive path. But I know there's hope, because you're involved in this area and this aspect of dealing with parents who are having struggles and are facing these challenges. What is one of the key things that you share with parents that helps them to cope with these challenges and to find a way to manage themselves so that they can navigate and mitigate against some of the negative impacts that it may have on their personal lives and maybe on their families as well?
Yes. So this is a great topic, and it's one that I'm really, really passionate about. To just lay out the big umbrella of what's going on here, you have multiple generations, right, that we're talking about. And what's happening is it's called intergenerational trauma. And, I have a graduate degree in conflict resolution, and I did my thesis in war trauma. It was intergenerational war trauma, specifically with the rhetoric around, this happened to my people. It's why we have places in the world that are conflict tinderboxes, is because it comes down, though, ultimately to people. It comes down to individuals. And in those cases, it was the grandparents passing it down to the kids, passing it, and it just, the symbolism, all of it just keeps going. Very similarly, you in a domestic situation, a family life, you have parents who have experienced this trauma. Like I talk, and we don't have the time today, but when I talk to groups and I talk from the stage, I talk about it in terms of trauma. It's not right. Like child abuse or neglect, even though those things do arise from these issues. But it's about the fact that we create these decisions so early in life, and then we don't know they're there, and we traumatize ourselves largely. So the parents have this going on in themselves, and they become triggered by their children. And a lot of times it's the way, then they end up maybe lashing out at the kids, or they're just sort of playing out the way they were parented. And it just keeps it keeps getting passed along. So there are parenting programs now. There's one that I teach, and there's others out there that they don't really get into beliefs. I'm trying to bring that into the mix more. But they do talk about triggers and that the relationship between how parents were brought up and how they parent. And one of the things that you asked what I tell parents, like a major thing, I have a mnemonic for it, so your listeners can learn this as well, is calm. If you think of the word calm, that's C-A-L-M.
Yeah.
So whenever there's something going on, and this is as early in life as all through teen years, right? You have a child in the home, there's a breakdown, they become dysregulated, for some reason, or somebody's hitting somebody else, or somebody's screaming or crying and you don't know what's going on. That the C is to count, that old wisdom, the count to 10. It's to, you want to break that reaction. That's what I talk about, on my website, is that we want parents to go from being reactive to responsive.
Right.
To not, when you react, what you're doing is you're going into your own body memory and you're acting, and you can't take in more information. And the only thing that you can do is the parent themselves becomes dysregulated and nothing really progresses. It just kind of gets worse. So that count is really important. The A is to ask questions. So many times parents want, with great intention, most of the time parents are just, they're really coming from a good place, right? We want to help our kids and we want to reinforce the rules. We want to deliver advice. We want all of these good things we want to do, but we can't, it is important to not go there until the child has had the opportunity to be heard.
Right.
You can't stress enough that all those things you mentioned about the acting out, especially even out of the home, so in a school environment, the bullying, the all the stuff that they do where they're really trying to get attention is because they didn't get the attention in the home. And parents would argue with that, maybe. They'd be like, oh, no, we're always there. But it's in those transactional, moments, those interactions, where we don't even realize the event has come and gone, and we solved it. But what happened was, a lot of times the parents was like, look, just do it because I say, I'm in charge, go to your room, or get over it, or there's such a missed opportunity for the emotional, that's the other piece, is the emotional connection and that bond that you can create when you give that person that opportunity, that the child, the opportunity to be heard. And you can learn so much about your child and about what's going on for them. And the decision then that you can make about what to say when you have that opportunity to speak might be even different based upon the input you receive. It might be much more supportive. So the A is ask, the L is listen. So ask and then allow that time to listen. And listen until you feel like the child has regulated again. Like, you'll notice that they maybe get closer to you, may crawl into your lap, they may want a hug, they're calming down. Then you can put in the M, which is the message, reinforce the rules. We don't hit in this house. Remember, the family has rules, whatever you want to say. But so important to reinforce, to separate the behavior from the being. So a lot of times parents give the impression to the child that they're going to withdraw their love. They walk away, or they send the child to their room, and the child has this feeling of separation, and that causes big problems too on such a subconscious level. And then they're dealing with it their whole lives, and all of this stuff that goes on, it's all about setting your child up for an adult life that works really well and gives them the opportunity to be prosperous, to be healthy, to have loving, supportive relationships. It's truly the model, that role model aspect, and all the goods that comes from all of the, what I just, mentioned with those interactions, the emotional connection, what you can learn, and it just builds upon itself.
Wow. I love that. So you're dealing with the InitsCalm, C-A-L-M. And first of all, you're focusing on keeping that calm immediately as the reaction comes or the situation arises. And then you're looking for the right moment to ask the questions that would give you the response you're looking for, because now you're looking for solutions. And then you listen, and you listen two ways. You listen by hearing what they have to say, as well as their body movements. You're looking at what the actual body movements are. And then you deliver the message. I love it. Thank you so much for sharing, Kat. So let's look at a video now that probably helps us to understand more what you're saying, because I think it is so important for us to realize that it is better to respond than to react. Let's hear what this one says.
Do you have difficulty expressing your thoughts, your opinions, your ideas? Some people are okay doing this one-on-one, but they couldn't do it in front of a group. And others have difficulty sharing anything with anyone. A lot of people have that going on, and it can be related to very early in life, when you were, doing something that your parents really wanted you to stop doing. If you had authoritarian parents, like many of us did, that were like, okay, you know, just stop. You know, they want to change the behavior. And, you know, you start to say something and it's like, don't talk back. I'm in charge. It's my rule. And everything sort of, you know, blows over. And the child doesn't feel heard and validated. Now, if this happens and it's a very emotional experience for the child, or maybe it just happens all the time, there can be a vow that comes out of this time period. What I think doesn't matter, or what I have to say doesn't matter. And it runs real deep. We don't even realize it. And when it's time to communicate with other people, that's when it will show up. And we all know how important communication is. So this is one that it would be good to explore and definitely release if you would like to change that and be able to express yourself better and in more ways. Now,
okay. So I really wanted to emphasize a point, and I think I got what I was looking for in that particular aspect of the video. Could you just emphasize it a little bit more? Because it is so important for us to realize that we have to be as calm as we possibly can, and then let that emit from us, so that what we have around us with regards to the situation we're dealing with and the people, they would receive that same calmness as well.
Yeah. Now that, again, that is, it goes so far. I was talking about those long-term effects then on the child, where they carry it into adulthood. And, you know, that's the thing also for parents to remember, is that events in the home happen, they blow up, they go over, and, you know, it's like over with, but it's not really over with. You know, you're talking about this, the way that the child is going to learn to interact with their spouse, with their boss. The parent is that archetype, right? That's that person in authority. The other point I want to make here too, because this is another one that's very, very important, is if you have this approach as a parent that I'm in charge, I have power over you, and you do as I say, the child is going to grow up sort of feeling like, okay, people in authority are the ones who are in charge and I'm not. And they'll have a much greater dispensation toward doing as someone tells them to do. And it may not be the right thing. It may not be the best thing. And they're going to blindly follow authority. I have this, you know, I don't think it's good to obey authority when it's appropriate. But it's also maybe appropriate to challenge authority in other times, and the child needs to have that those filters in their mind, and they're not going to create that. Those are layers and layers of learning through their teen years. When do I obey authority, and when do I challenge it? And it starts as early as, you know, 2-3 years old, again, with these basic interactions with the, between the parent and the child.
Yeah. Thank you so much for adding that. It really sounds very interesting and quite helpful, I'm sure. So I just want to shift gears a little bit, Kathy, and I want to share something with you and get your comments on it. I know this is close to your heart. It's you made it up. Now stop believing it. How did you come up with this title for this publication? What was the?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what my thought process was when I was deciding what I was going to name the book. but I think it was just the whole idea that, and that's the way that I structured the book, is how you make it up. So that was part one, how you made it up. And part two is how to stop believing it. So I think the title probably naturally came from the fact that I wanted to explain to people how this happens when you're very young. And the way that I did it is through, I think it's 5 case studies from David's work, where I had, you know, this interaction between, it was a dialogue between the client, mm-hmm, and David.
Okay.
And, I wrote it in, I forgot what voice I wrote it in, but that was, it was really for illuminating how this shows up for people, you know, how they, what they experienced as an adult, what life was like growing up, what the vow was, and then how did their life change after they did the work to release the vow? Because that's the body memory process. It's both a discovery and a release process. So the first part of the book also brought in a lot of the science, because there is a lot of science to back all of this up.
Okay.
Dr. Pert, she wrote Molecules of Emotion. If anyone's interested in learning more about how emotions play a key role in creating, you know, these belief systems, there's great information out there. Part two is the whole body memory process for release. And then I have a third part that's about living consciously. The only thing that I couldn't put in the book are almost the 1,000 beliefs that have been collected over the years, these core beliefs. And I have them in an Excel workbook right now. And I have it for sale on my website. That it's a good companion to the book because it helps people to just, they could just browse through. It's correlated with where they show up in the body, according to the energy system of the body, the chakras, and where these beliefs show up. So that people can do the work that's outlined in the book, use the body map, and then get to their own list of childhood vows. I want to say that you might not in the beginning discover all of them, but you'll discover the ones that are really important to you now to get into. And again, it's peeling the layers of the onion. So you'll have the process for life then to be able to do the work whenever you feel like, gee, like there's times when you become more and more conscious of your thoughts and your words and your beliefs, you start to hear yourself and you'll say, maybe some investigating there. And then you do that introspection and you figure out what's going on. And the more the parents work on themselves, that's why I like to reach, especially pregnant women and young moms, the more they do this work and work on themselves, the sort of the cleaner emotionally they're going to be able to work with their kids and not pass this stuff along to them.
Okay, great. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing, Kathy. We appreciate it. And we're really looking forward to even more in the future with regards to your expertise. I just want to take a final break here for a moment as we continue to support the program. We have our friends from Breaking Out of Depression, which is one of the podcasts that I control as well. So we're going to take a quick break and we're going to have Phoebe share some information on Breaking Out of Depression. We will be right back live with Kathy Sun in the breakout.
Hi, friends. Phoebe Trotman here. I wanted to just thank Andy, Charles, and the team for what they're doing with their broadcast. One of the things that stood out to me is that they truly care. They are there every single Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time, sharing what they have gone through, their experiences. They have guests who have gone through real challenges, and those guests are sharing what they've done to push through those challenges. And one of the things that the reason I want to encourage you to tune in is because it helps you realize you're not alone. There is a community of people who care. There are people out there who've gone through challenges and they're sharing what they did to push through. And so it's a show of hope. It's a show of encouragement. It's also a show where you can learn. You can learn a tip or two to help you along your journey. So I encourage you again, tune in every single Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Atlantic Standard Time. They have a great lineup of guests. They themselves, they share their experiences, and I know it will help you through your journey. So I wanted to wish you continued success, good health, and many blessings in 2024 and beyond.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much, Phoebe. Okay, great. So we are back with Kati Sun live in the breakout room. She's a core belief expert, a parenting coach, and a best-selling author. Now, Kati, as we look at the many challenges that people are facing with in the world, how do we help folks to separate what is happening in the home as parents with regards to the challenges that we recently spoke about, and to get to work or to get into their social places of where they interact with people on a regular basis and not have an overflow of those challenges into the work area or into their social cycles? How do we get them to compartmentalize and to keep it where it is supposed to be, but not letting it spill over into other areas of their lives?
I think just that turning within and doing, you know, whether it's the body memory process, you know, whether it's the work that I do or other work out there, there's just sort of an explosion out there, thankfully. Yeah. A lot of people are coming forth and, you know, that's through their own journeys, they're finding methods to be able to deal with a lot of the trauma, the emotional baggage. There's some great books out there. So whatever you're drawn to, whatever speaks to you, just, you know, look, get the resources that you need, invest the time to turn inward and do that work, because when you do, you will find that it will make those improvements. You'll have that self-awareness, and when you go, whether it's your parent or it's just you and your spouse, you know, when you're in your home, it'll impact your relationship there. It'll improve that relationship, because when you think about it, everything's about relationship. Everything. We have our own relationship with money. We have our relationship with our body. Do we listen to our body? Right. A lot of times, it's because it's the same thing we just talked about. Right. We want to be able to do all these things to our body. Like, we want to tell our kids what to do, but we don't take the time to listen. A lot of times we just stop, you know, when we were kids, I think we were in tune, but it gets conditioned out of us to listen to our body. So if you're in a great, you know, you want to just decide, I want to have improve my relationships 360 degrees, right, with my body, with money, with other people. And wherever they go socially, when they go to the workplace, it's going to show up there. I mean, they're just going to be at a higher vibrational frequency. And we've been learning how everything vibrates. Quantum physics, there's science brings us to the fact that everything vibrates. And when we start turning inward and improving ourselves, we are at a higher vibrational level, and we can then attract what we want in our life with those dreams, you know, that the money, the great relationship. We'll find that our relationships with our kids improve, all of it, because we've turned inward and worked on ourselves instead of, because so many times we, first of all, we have to take, like, just acknowledge that it's not about what's out there, right? Because we can't change what's out there. We can only change ourselves. So by acknowledging that and then working on yourself, then you'll see that your whole world is going to change because of what you, what you're vibrating and what you're generating. It's going to be amazing. You're going to say, I didn't, you know, but nothing out there in essence changed. You changed, and it changes everything in your world.
Right, right. Wonderful. Thanks for sharing, Kathy. How challenging is it when we look at the effects of epigenetics within a family cycle, something that they desperately would want to change? But because of this natural force of nature, there comes the challenge, how do we change it? How do we create a neuropathical sense of difference rather than continue going down the same road from maybe grandfather to father, as the case might be? How challenging is that for some of the parents that you have dealt with?
It's challenging. It is. It's not. I think that David used to say that the work is simple but not easy, because you know the brain, its function is to kind of keep us safe, and so it likes constancy. It likes what's familiar. It likes that comfort zone.
Yes.
And so even if the comfort zone is truly like uncomfortable, it's still what we know. And it's that, you know, it's that unknown, like if I change, what's going to happen? If I do this, then, you know, I'm not sure. If I go for my dreams, am I really going to be good enough? And then you come right up against another, I'm not good enough belief to work on. But you mentioned epigenetics, which is another, you know, sort of area of interest for me, because it tells us that even our genes don't dictate. On and off according to our environment and, you know, our very largely our own consciousness.
Yes.
So, you know, I have a son on the autism spectrum, and I'm being told, you know, all the times, all of these, you know, these, well, he can't do, I'm like, it's stop right there, because I'm not going to, like, my brain is going to shut down if you say the words he can't. Talk to me about what he can do.
Right.
What I have found is that as I continue to discover the things he likes and is good at, such as playing the piano, I mean, oh my God, he has the potential to be a great piano player, and we're working on that. What is it that they can do? And I think that my own philosophy about all these kids on the autism spectrum coming in, I think it's a step in human evolution. My own philosophy that they're coming in to show us that, you know, it's truly about, you know, what we can do and not what we can't do. And that it's not about conforming to, you know, the way things have been all along, because we can't move forward if we keep doing things right the way they've been doing. So the kids have so many lessons to teach us. And I just know that he's not doomed by his genetics or whatever it is that is causing him to have the developmental challenges that he has. That's not what we focus on. It's on the, you know, what he can do.
So. Yeah. Thank you. So I'm just going to share another video here and get your feedback.
Remember that scene in Lion King where Simba and Rafiki are talking with each other, and Simba's talking about how he's been running from his past for so long and it hurts. And Rafiki hits him over the head with that stick he usually carries. And Simba says, "What'd you do that for?" And Rafiki says, "Doesn't matter, it's in the past." The way I see it, you can either run from your past or you can learn from it. The truth is, the past doesn't matter. But if you are trying to run from it, or, you know, ignoring it and how it could affect the challenges that you're facing now, then it will matter to you and it will hold you back. There have been a lot of people who have taken the leap to look at what's been going on in their past, what are the beliefs that came out of them, and you can read about them in my new book called You Made It Up, Now Stop Believing It. And you can hop on over right now to youmadeitupbook.com and get your free chapter.
Okay. Right. So just emphasize a bit more on that important point as we continue, because it ties in with what we were just speaking about with the epigenetics and the habits that you want to break. And if you keep doing the same thing and expecting different results, it's just not going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. Wonderful. So at the end of the day, how has this response to the book been with regards to people getting the information and really enjoying the process of how you can help them to deal with their challenges with core beliefs and specifically with the area of parenting?
Yeah, I've had great feedback from the book. I had someone who came into town and she wanted to buy several because she said, I did the process in the book and it worked. I think that there may be another book in the future because that book was meant to be just purely about beliefs. But I think that there may be another book that I will write that focuses on the parenting side of things and incorporates what I talk about in this book about beliefs. But you know, again, I am really, it's a personal mission. I'm very passionate about reaching parents with this message that, you know, if we make up all these beliefs before we're even 7 years old and it's going to impact us way into adulthood, then parents need to become aware. I mean, even it's just building awareness and nothing else that, hey, this goes on and please, you know, consider the way that you interact with your child is important. They are listening. When I speak from the stage, sometimes I'll say, okay, show of hands, who here thinks that your child sometimes is just not listening to you? And all the hands go up. And I say, well, you know, that's a very common experience, but in reality, they are always listening. And they are. We can't turn off our subconscious, right? We're always soaking it all in. It's the beliefs that form that very core self-identity, those ones that start with I am, I am a mistake, if they weren't even wanted, right? I am not good enough. There's that collection of beliefs that I have. There's so many of them that start with I am, because again, the child is in that egocentric period of time where they're formulating all of these ideas about who they are based upon, you know, what they experience and what people are telling them. Yeah. So it's just so on the other side of things, if a parent says, you are lazy, right? You are stupid. Any of those put downs, that's gonna reach them, right? They're gonna take that in because they're not mature enough to let that deflect, right? As adults, we can have people call us names and we're like, okay, thanks for sharing your opinion, but I don't have to believe what you say. You know, it's like we have this strength as adults, but children, they don't. They just take it all in. They're just big sponges. Right.
Yeah, and it's our duty as parents to understand that and to protect them in a way in which we would love ourselves to be protected. So we just had Inarde Paris saying good afternoon, and she had a thumbs up in liking what you just say from a parenting perspective. So we appreciate your comment. Good afternoon, and thank you for... Oh, and there's another thumbs up, so it's two likes. We appreciate you, Katia, and I, and we thank you for your support. So in closing, what is the huge message that you'd want to say with regards to core beliefs and parenting? If you had to sum it up in a couple of sentences, how would you say it?
So if you are a parent, know that your job is more important than you ever realized.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean to be stressed out about it. Honestly, when you take a look at this information and you start to understand, it actually de-stresses you because you have truly a calm experience when you're interacting with your kids. So just realize overall that your job is extremely important, and take that time to listen and emotionally bond with your child. That is the most important thing. Then the next important thing is turn inward, discover what's going on for you. What are your triggers? Real quick example, my child's over there, they're not listening to me. And instead of saying, "You're not listening to me again, why don't you ever listen to me?" realize, oh, something's triggering me about my child not listening to me. And maybe it's because when I was 5 years old, I wasn't listened to, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a huge trigger, is not being listened to, because again, when we were little, our parents were trying to deliver things too quickly.
Yeah.
So just take a deep breath. I want all the parents, just please collectively take a deep breath. By knowing that you have this important job, know that there's also a lot of support, a lot of resources. Again, doesn't have to be my information. I think my information, my book, my website, it's very, very clearly laid out and supportive. And there's other information out there as well. I just want people to explore yourself, really for the sake of your de-stressing, your peace of mind, and most of all for the future of those children who are in your care and the future of the planet. I mean, it's really all tied. It all comes down to the family.
Yeah, so I'm just going to put up some information there on the screen. And Kathy, you can take this time now to tell them how they can make contact with you, align with the information there, and of course, how they can get the book. Yeah.
Yes, so I have a website where you can click and then buy the book on Amazon. And when you submit your order number, you get free gifts from me, including you can have a call with me. You can get a copy of 50 of those hundreds of vows that I was talking about. So you can get a look at what they look like and how that's laid out. And I also have a video that's almost an hour long that will complement the book, and it will talk you, the video talks you through that vow discovery process. So it's youmadeitupbook.com/bonuses to get those bonuses.
Right. Okay, wonderful. Thank you so very much. So we have had Kathy Son in the house with us here live in the breakout room, a place for health, happiness, and prosperity. And we have had the opportunity to share with her expertise. She's a core belief expert, a parenting coach, and a best-selling author. Our focus is on creating harmony within families in the home, and of course, at all social levels with regards to how parents can deal with their children and create a whole level of functionality as opposed to dysfunctionality in the family presence. So we thank you so much. Until next time, this is Andy of Andy's Personal Development in the breakout room together with our guest, Kathy Son, saying so long, Godspeed, God bless, Shalom, Namaste. Bye for now, my friends. Take care.